pray together as we think about God's word in this place this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we've heard so much in that word, and your word speaks on its own, we know. But we ask, Lord, that as we think together, as we think about your word, may you bring it to life to us, and that it might live even more powerfully in us. In the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know how many times we might say this, probably over and over and over, but you know when you say something like, I'm not going to do that again. It might be that you lost your temper, or that you talk badly about somebody else, or you failed to, you worried about something and you failed to trust God, who you know that you can trust. And you say, I'm never going to do that again. And then before you know it, you've done it again. And it's close to us, isn't it? Those things, those moments when we want to be different, to be changed. And it's not easy changing. And we ask God to help us in that. Romans chapter 7, in its strangest of sort of ways, I think, is encouraging to us. And I'm going to have to tease that out to get to that with you. But I think it is encouraging to us. It gives us an amazing insight into the life of Paul. Paul, who's one of the great characters, the Christian characters in the Bible, as we know, one through whom God planted churches, grew churches, one who took the good news of Jesus out into the Roman world as he did. He wrote much of the New Testament, and churches clearly grew under his ministry, even if it was from afar some of the time. And people came to faith in Jesus clearly. But this is his self-reflection moment in Romans 7. And I don't know if we would put it quite like this, how he puts it, when he thinks about himself. Remember, he's a remarkable person for God. And this is what he says of himself in verse 15. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. I know what's right, I just can't do it. And I guess we've probably all said that at different points. I know what I should be doing, but it's so hard to do it. Well, maybe that's not true. Maybe we're sitting here this morning and thinking, well, that's my problem, but everybody else around me always looks so righteous and good. You know, when we look around, and maybe you're looking around at people now and you think, I might look a bit of a mess inside, but they look calm and prayerful and patient. You can see one another, can't you, as we look around. And then we might wonder why we struggle and no one else struggles. Well, Paul is enabling us to see that everyone struggles. It's not just you. If you're thinking it's just you, it's not just you. Paul tells us that we all of us struggle in verse 21. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me, he says in that verse. The perfect example, I think, of that and that struggle that we have is an evil being near comes, I think, when we first come to faith in Jesus, in God through Jesus, or when our faith is taking off a bit more. You know, when you think that you want to love God more than you have done in the past. And suddenly, with your intentions so good, you begin to see your struggles even more clearly. Do you ever have that? You know, the more I want to be near to the Lord, the more I see what I might be like on the inside. That struggle that we have We suddenly notice it. In fact, when we don't want to be near God, we don't notice our sin at all, particularly, do we? We're kind of at a distance from it. It's as we get closer that we begin to see the thoughts that we have, the struggles that we have. It's as if our consciences explode into life. And becoming a Christian causes that. We become even more aware of who we are and what we are, the resentments that we have, that we may have carried for years, the self-centered part of who we are, the forgiveness and how we struggle with it, because it is so difficult at times. Let me describe it a bit like this. The windows in our homes look perfectly clean, don't they? I hope yours do. I'm not sure that the vicarage ones do, but nonetheless, windows can look pretty clean. And then the sun comes up. And you see the fingerprints on there, and you think, or the dog's been on the window in our case. And the dust is there. And you think, has the windows become dirtier in that moment? No. It was always there. And suddenly, you can see it. When you put your life in place with Jesus, when you trust in him, you begin to see. It's a bit like the sun shines upon you, and you can see the bits of your life that you realise fall short of maybe what God might want of you. Things are changing as that begins to happen in our lives. And Paul talks about this change in verse 22. He says, "For in my inner being, I suddenly delight in God's law." You see the change that's coming in him. He's beginning to see God, and therefore he begins to see himself more clearly. There's now within him, he talks a bit about, a new desire. He wants to please God. He's moved from the place without God, or just full of the laws of God, the pernicketiness of God, to suddenly seeing God as God really is, as we see here. And he wants to please God. And that desire is a work of God, isn't it, when we suddenly start to have that? But it sort of signals the beginning of a battle. The battle that he talks about here in Romans 7. This is a battle that's already been won, and we know that. Jesus, who came and lived and died on the cross, the battle is won, and yet we're working out our walk with him, and the battle is being lived out in us. If we keep our eyes on God, we will feel that victory. But of course, we can feel as though we're losing the battle as we go on. Our thoughts are really important in this, aren't they? You know, how we think. Let me describe it a little bit like this. I'm a big football fan. You would have never have guessed, clearly. But I wonder whether you think my thoughts about my team, whether they make any difference to my team. I don't think they do. I think about them a lot, but it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference to them. But my thoughts make a huge difference to me. They change how I feel. They change how I think. I can either live in hope or I can live in despair. Our thoughts are in that way, aren't they? So I can think about God, and I can either be hopeful or I can be despairing. I can be certain of God's promises for me in Jesus, or I can live as if it's all uncertain. None of it's sure. I'm in a battle, and I think the battle's maybe going to be lost, and yet the battle has been won. But my thoughts influence the way that I experience the things that I'm living. The Christian faith is full of hope. When we think of our story as we come now, we remember the victory of Jesus on the cross. when he died for us, when he rose up from the grave, that he's alive, and his victory is our victory to be lived out in the Christian life that we have. Hope wins out, despair is defeated, the battle is won. But will we choose hope? Will we choose to believe in God, to trust in God, to lean on God, to read his word expecting to understand and see good things? Even though difficult moments come, will we remember that God has hold of us and the things of this life? Not just us, but all who lean towards him because of what Jesus has done. Paul says, I want to please him. I want to trust him. Even though I'm struggling, I will struggle trusting in him. So let me ask you this morning what your struggle is as we come. I guess we're conscious of them. Maybe we're worrying about something. Just can't shake it this morning as we come. Maybe we're carrying thoughts that we wish weren't there. We might feel bitter about something or someone. We might be struggling to forgive. We might always say, I don't think I could ever forgive. We might be comparing ourselves to others. We might find ourselves drifting away from God over and over and over. What is our struggle? Well, Paul wants us to know, I think, this morning, that the answer is not simply to try harder. Listen to his cry in verse 24. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Notice he doesn't say what will rescue me, but who will rescue me? The Christian faith is not ultimately about rules, and we know that as we come. It's about a relationship. The answer is not self-improvement. The answer is a saviour. And so Paul bursts out in praise in verse 25. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus delivers us. The struggle that we go through, he's already overcome. We've won that battle because of him. He delivers us. And in the struggles we're going through right now, will we trust in him? Through his death on the cross, our sins are forgiven. Through his resurrection, we are given new life. Through the Holy Spirit, we're given strength for each day. And one day, this battle that's been won by Jesus will be finally over. And we will be with him forever. So, will we with Paul remember the struggle and yet hold on to the hope that we have? Yes, we might see ourselves more clearly through the light of God being shone upon us. But actually, Jesus has wiped us clean. The dust has gone on the window. The handprints are not there anymore. For Jesus came for us. We are people who must keep turning back to Jesus, no matter how often we feel we fall short. If you feel as though you've fallen short today, just turn back to him this morning. Martin Luther once said that the Christian life is one of daily repentance. Every day, turn back to him. He said, we fall, but we get up again. We fail, but we come again to Jesus. We struggle, but we do not struggle alone. Jesus is Lord. He walks with us. He forgives us. He strengthens us. And he will take us home to his Father's home in heaven. hope or despair. May we be people who find that place of hope as we think about things, because it makes a huge difference the way we live our lives. The victory is won, but will we allow that victory to affect us in our thoughts and hopes? Will we choose hope this morning? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your message of hope, that the victory that Jesus has won is a victory that is ours today and for every day. And Lord, we struggle to live out that victory because sin is always near, darkness never far, and yet you help us to overcome. May you help us to overcome today. Whatever is pulling us back, pulling us down, may you help us to overcome because of Jesus today, as we trust in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.